Heavenly Father, we come into your presence confessing our sins, and repenting of them, and stripping ourselves of every confidence in ourselves, in our knowledge, in our preparation. We look to you for mercy, because no man in themselves can unravel the deep wisdom encapsulated in your word. So we lift up our eyes. I particularly lift up my eyes to you for fresh mercy. That, Lord, you will have mercy on me. And you will enable me, Lord, to be anointed afresh as a minister of Christ. That, Lord, you will grant me fresh unction, Lord, and Lord, fresh insight, so that your word will come forth out of me, Lord, in power, in clarity, in humility, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And that word will do an eternal work in our hearts and lives, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated and motivated by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As your word goes forth, Lord, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be open, let deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our knees and our ankle bones, that we will be empowered to be doers of the things that we hear, and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Also, Father, we are asking you, Lord, that you will help me, Lord, and grant me mercy to be faithful, that I will not speak my own words, but you will make me an oracle of God. I will say only those things that you would have me say, redeeming the time, and as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bring forth out of the treasure of this precious word things both new and old to the praise of your glory. We are asking that your purpose in this place, let it be done as we minister today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're in the book of Colossians. And the last lesson in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29, we saw by the help of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul rejoicing in his sufferings for the brethren at Colossae. And we said last week, the last time we were in the Word, that in this particular part of the Scripture, that it is the will of God, as we follow Christ's example, to suffer. And the Bible is clear about what we're supposed to suffer. If you look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Hebrews chapter 5, quickly, 7 to 9. Yes. Where it says, who in the days of his flesh, let's read it together. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Next verse, please. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And we said the last time that it's important to understand the fact that there is a suffering in Christ. We suffer self-denial in the use of our time. We suffer self-denial in the control of our appetites. We suffer self-denial in the control and the use of our finances. The Bible says, let your moderation be known to all men. So it's important for that we are moderate in what we do. And of course, what is moderate for one person is not the same as what is moderate for somebody else. But the important thing is the principle that we must be moderate. Our moderation must come across to all men. The Bible says that them that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. So really, primarily, is the use of our time, to invest time in spiritual activity, in prayer, in the study of the word, that releases the spiritual power that enables us to control the appetites of the flesh and gives us the divine wisdom to use our resources the way God wants us to. Amen. So things like sleep, things like food, our natural ambitions and things like that, there's nothing wrong with those things, but we must use them as not abusing it. Amen. Okay, so we control, we exercise power over those areas of our lives, and there's a reward for it. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, we won't turn there for time. It says, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. When you invest time in spiritual activity, it gives you the spiritual power to enter into the kingdom, which is basically the total dominion of the love of God over our wills, over our minds, and over our emotions. Amen. And that kingdom gives us access to the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. And that ushers in the glory. Amen. So that is very important. So we look at the reward. We don't look at the suffering. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So we look at the reward, and that reward motivates us. That's how Paul said, I'm rejoicing. How can you rejoice in suffering? You can only rejoice in knowing that there is a just reward for every suffering, every fasting, every prayer that you pray. There's a reward in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of this life that now is. It's not just in heaven. This life, you get your inheritance, and in the world to come, you get an eternal reward. Amen. So the reward is really worth it, brethren. And it's a great privilege to suffer and walk in the steps of Jesus. Amen. To be able to sit with him, you know, by permission on his throne. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that that's our portion. So we see that it's a will of God for us to suffer. Now, to come into ministry, fivefold ministry now, and to be a minister, and have people under your charge spiritually, you have even more suffering. So it's not a walk in the park. It's not a strutting, and it's not, in fact, mommy said something beautiful, embrace the cross. She sent it before, but it was a really strong reminder. And because, you know, many times we want the crown, we want the glory, but the way to the glory is the cross. So we should embrace the cross with the hope of the crown. Amen. And that really blessed me. Thank you so much. And it really strengthened me that, you know, like Apostle Paul, in this day, we can embrace suffering, having an understanding that is working a just recompense of reward in our souls and in our mortal flesh. Amen. Now also, so these ministers are required to suffer a bit more, and they give time. Peter said we must give ourselves unto prayer and the ministry of the word continually. Thank you, sir. We must give ourselves continually unto prayer and the ministry of the word. So it takes that to provide covering, which is the power of God, channeled to us through the spirits of kings, spiritual kings, and their princes, their sons. So that power is channeled to us, and it is that power that protects the people from premature death. Because Satan wants to pick them out, you see. So it's important. So that covering protects us spiritually. It also improves the quality of our hearts. So our hearts improve in honesty. Our hearts improve in humility. We will see further on how Paul disciplined John Mark. And when he disciplined John Mark, it had a good effect on John Mark. Because John Mark came back and became profitable in the ministry. So even though there is physical discipline, the key here is that life is being ministered, that covering. And that covering is working in the person, making them repent. And anything that increases your humility is good for you and I. Amen. Anything that makes you more humble, you're on the path of destiny. Amen. Bible says he was heard in that he feared. So that's good. And then finally, you see that the other part of suffering is that true ministers, that is spiritual fathers now, mature ministers, are targets of satanic spirits, Satan and his cohorts. So Satan wants to pick them because they are generals. And the war is not won by power. The war is won by wisdom. It is strategy. It is sons of Issachar that have understanding of the times and know what Israel ought to do and can discern the will of God. Bible says, believe the Lord, so shall you be established. But believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So the prosperity of our souls, and even our physical prosperity, without compromise, that is linked to fathers and their well-being. So it's important for us to pray for our spiritual parents. Amen? Amen? And that prayer is enlightened self-interest. Because when it is well with them, guess what? It's well with us. Amen? Amen. You know, so you have somebody who can tell you when you're going the wrong way. You have somebody who's not distracted, is not weary. And you see the example in the life of Moses with Aaron and Ur. Even Jesus told Peter, James, and John, come, let's go and pray. He needed prayer. He needed prayer. So, brethren, we're reiterating it. It can't be overemphasized. It's so important in this day that we must pray for our oversight consistently and pray with all of our hearts. Amen. Secondly, like I said earlier, true ministers, because they discern divine purpose and timing, you know, it's very important to understand that when the will of God is revealed to them and they come and tell you, God will not come to you directly. There are certain things that you can understand, and there are certain things that you cannot understand. So there are some things that God will give to Moses. God gave Moses the pattern, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. We're not going to look, just put it up so you can see. The Bible says, see that you build according to the pattern, show thee where? In the mount. Moses went up to the mount alone. But the pattern was for all the children of Israel. Amen. It was for all the children of Israel. So when you hear the word, it's not a suggestion. It is an instruction. Your life and my life are at stake. Amen. So we hold fast to the word of instruction. The Bible says, take fast hold, for she is thy life. And you also see that amongst leaders in the body of Christ, there's mutual submission. So sometimes the will of God comes through, and we see that beautifully in our spiritual parents. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, mommy will bring a word and pastor would defer, you know, and sometimes pastor will bring a word. So you see that there's that deference, you know, in the spirit. It's very important. This is about the will of God. It's not about any man building his kingdom. It's about God's will being done. Amen. Okay, and it's also important that we also, like we said earlier on, we submit. So as we submit, we see that the love of God, we saw the last lesson, that the purpose of God for now is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is what God is doing now in the church. God has times and seasons for everything he's doing. And the season we're in now is the perfection of the church. Amen? So that the church of God can be without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Being made perfect in love. And he also said that, Paul said, whom we preach and teach, you know, warning every man. And we said that that is important. If he's warning us, it's because there is a consequence. There is a consequence of ignoring what he's saying. This is divine government now. This governmental authority. So when fathers are giving instruction, you have to take fast hold. You have to give the more earnest heed. You have to make sure that you implement it in our lives. Amen. So we don't lose our inheritance and we don't fall short of our reward. Nothing on this earth is worth it, brethren. We are going to be something in eternity. And it's for eternity, is not 2,000 years. It's forever. So that's why God is saying he's preaching, he's warning, because God wants the best for us. Amen. Amen. And that's why to get the best, what do? We submit to God's word through his servants. Amen. With an open heart. And we practice the instructions they give us diligently. When we do that, we make progress and we enter into our destiny. Amen. Now, we're now looking at Colossians chapter 2. We begin with verse 1. So let's read Colossians 2 verses 1 to 3. Let's read it together. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Next verse. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Next verse. In whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. We're trusting the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. Let's look at verse 1. Give it to me in the Amplified. Give it to me in the Amplified. For I want you to know how great is my solicitude for you, how severe an inward struggle I am engaged in for you and for those believers at Laodicea and all who, like yourselves, have never seen my face and known me personally. This is Paul telling us that a man can be responsible for people he has not met personally. That a man under God can have a measure of rule in the spirit that extends to strangers, and their well-being is dependent on what the man does or does not do. It's very important. You see, the church of God is not by having many branches. It is by the Spirit. Amen? It's by the Spirit. And in the Spirit, there are no walls. The connection is made by the Holy Spirit. God connects you to fathers. And you know that when you hear the word from this man, something resonates in your spirit. And you know that, this is the truth. And you respond to it and you see the fruit. That's your father. You may know that you may not be going to this church, but that is the acid test of true fatherhood. Amen. When the word is bringing forth fruit in our lives. So we see that Paul was a father indeed. He had a passion to see the purpose of God established on the earth. And because of that passion, God began to increase the measure of his rule. Because God wants to put people under covering. He wants to protect his people. See, brethren, there's a degree to which we enjoy protection individually. It is sometimes in God's economy, God builds one man and then puts people under that one man so that one man can provide covering. So we see that was what Paul was doing, even beyond his immediate location. So true fathers, their purpose is to discern the purpose of God for areas and countries. So he was talking about Laodicea, that something was going on. Of course, we know that in Laodicea, in Revelations chapter 3, we see that the church of God, they had one primary problem. Their love was what? Waxing cold. So Paul had already picked it in the spirit and was now praying to correct in the spirit what he had seen and what was going on. So we see that, fathers have spiritual influence. That goes beyond their natural boundaries, their natural location. Amen. And the purpose is that, is the end of it is that God wants his purpose to be done in the lives of the saints. Let's look at New Living Translation. I like the New Living Translation, not NIV, NLT. Okay, you may not have it. Okay, well, let me read that to you, because I think that was, it made it very clear. Here, he's talking about solicitude. Solicitude is really care, earnest care, earnest love. And the New Living Translation brought that out very, very clearly, so that we can appreciate that. But okay, we'll come back to that, but let's just move on. So he's talking about care. So when he talks about conflict, he's talking about his care, his attentiveness. He knows as soon as something happens, he can pick it in the spirit. And he can begin to pray to correct whatever is going on. Amen. And this is instructive for us, When oversight asks you or they call you and say, are you okay? It's very important to be careful before you answer. You must think carefully and be blatantly, openly honest. Be naked before them. There is nobody that you should be afraid of. You cannot open yourself to anybody. You must open yourself up to oversight. Because they have your interest at heart. Your best interest. That's what he was talking about. He talked about the great conflict. Even people he had not seen, people he had not met, he had a great passion to see. Okay. Yes. Okay. I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you and also for Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side. We're right alongside with you. You are not in this alone. Brethren, we are not alone. We are blessed with fathers that care. And they are praying and interceding and building the face of God for you and I, even when we don't know what's happening. Very important. And that's their heart. That's their passion. Amen. And so you see that it is so that the purpose of God can be done in our lives. So you also see the fact that God entrusts his purposes on the earth to fathers, true ministers, even beyond their location. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, and then verse 18 to 19. Quickly, Daniel, King James, thank you. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, next verse. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now we know the story that the children of Israel were driven out from Jerusalem and were taken over to Babylon. Okay, so Daniel is understanding by the books, by revelation, by study. Now this is part of the work of fathers. Spend time in the word to discern the purpose and the mind of God. Amen. And then God picks it because they have a relationship with God. They are God's friend. And he won't do anything except he tells his people on the earth. So God tells them that this is what I want to do. So Daniel did that. And then look at verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Agonizing. The New Living Testament talks about agonizing. Yes, that's solicitude. That's the care. It's a spiritual care. It's not emotional pity. It's a spiritual care in the place of intercession to generate the spiritual power to be able to cause the will of God to be enforced on the earth. Very important. Okay, look at verse 18 to 19. I want to bring that out. But then God wants us to really appreciate our fathers. Amen. Look at verse 18. Daniel is praying. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Next verse. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. That's earnest intercession. Earnest intercession. And see the result of it. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 22. Thank you. Let's read it together. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by who? The mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, next verse. Thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. And he had charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is there among all of you, his people. The Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. Unbeliever. How did God stir him up? Daniel. This is a tapestry. It's an intricate weaving of the people of God and the men of God across generations. Jeremiah did his bit by declaring the word. Daniel picked it. Daniel prayed it through. This is the will of God. So you see that this stuff is not about, it's about the destinies of nations. And today, by his grace, not that somebody told me, before our very eyes, I have seen the destiny of America shaped. We're not the only ones though, thank God. But we definitely are part of the people that God has used. Amen. When mommy picked that, we know mommy's Mama Obama. When mommy picked that this is the will of God for Obama, we prayed, we fasted, then we prayed more, then we prayed more until he came in. Then when he came in, he said he will do a second time. Yes, because that's the will of God. So we prayed again, and in spite of everything, we declared all this. We declared, don't worry about what we declared, but we declared what we declared. Amen. And what did he do? He came in a second time. Then again, the word of Lord came that he will not live in disgrace. That so we now tied the economy of America to the favor of God upon Obama, and now he has the highest rating ever of president in decades. Intercession. 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 Amen. God wants his will to be done. And in the spirit, there's no distance. So he can use somebody on the far end. The power is in the spirit. So just make it manifest where he wants it to manifest. And now we're going to see it again. Yes, so write it down. By the grace of God, according to the word of the Lord, President Hillary Clinton. By his grace. So as you are clapping, remember, we are coming to church tomorrow with fasting. We are going to... That's what it takes, brethren. The generals discern the direction, and then the whole army follows. And we break through the breaker company. Amen. That's your pop. That's the will of God for our lives. Okay? So we see this, that if America can walk like this as a test case, then Nigeria is not a problem. In fact, we see the favor of God upon Nigeria. God is doing it. And all of a sudden, our nation will be born at once. At once. Amen. Okay? So we see that the passion of Paul was love. Love and the purpose of God. And anywhere he saw that there was something wrong with love, he wanted to do something about it. So he started praying for the Laodicean Christians. Brethren, when we see the love of brethren waning, we should pray. The first thing is not to talk. The first thing is to pray. And let's look at verse 2 now as we go on. That's their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. The praying is key, because it is the praying that releases the life, because we are connected. You see, look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 19. Very important that we have connections in the spirit. Yes. And not holding the head, let's read it together. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. What is the increase of God? Life. It is increasing in life. So what he's saying is that we are connected. There are joints and bands. And Bible talks about the fact that there's each part of the body, talks about parts of the body, talks about joints. So where two parts meet, naturally, like the elbow is a joint. Two parts meet at the elbow. So it's the same way. You know, there are joints. And the key is that these joints must be ministering life. So what he's saying is that praying, that concern, that praying is to influence and affect the lives of the brethren, both at Colossae and the ones at Laodicea. And, you know, it is based on the understanding that you and I can forgive sin. We can remit sin, and we can ask life for one another. Let's look at that quickly. John 20, 23. This is how the body grows, brethren. Mommy said something, you know, one time that is only, she was preaching on something on this, and she was saying that it's only in the body of Christ that when a part is weak, then we just finish it off. It's not natural. It's not the will of. When a part of a body is aching, you don't cut it off. You try to preserve it. You try to heal it. The body has the capacity to heal itself. Look at John 20:23. Whosoever sins, you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins, you retain, they are what? Retain. So we have power to forgive. I have power to forgive. I have power to release. Look at 1 John 5:16. Quickly. Thank you. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him what? Life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So what he's talking about? He's talking about when you sin, you know, the sin on death is something that is really hard to do. Don't focus on that. But this one is the one that everybody can do. No, when you see your brother sin, the first thing is, Father, I confess our sins. I confess our sins. In Jesus' name, I have life. I give life. I give life. And as you give life, as you are giving life, you are also getting life. Because in Jesus' name, I have life. You have life. You have to have life to give life. So when you have life, then you give life. And as you do that, you are ministering to that body, that member, that part of the body. Amen. And you are ministering, as you minister to that body, there is a change. It may not be immediate. There is a release of life to that body. It's very important. And you know, what I want to emphasize this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit is that we must cultivate an immediate prayer response when you see people's shortcomings. Very important. We must cultivate an immediate prayer response. Lord, have mercy on this person in Jesus' name. Lord, have mercy on this person in Jesus' name. I'm growing in it. You know, I'm growing, and I find that, you know, it takes cultivation. You have to cultivate it. But you have to, if you ask God to help you and you desire to do it, you can do it. So that you don't relate to people based on how they relate to you. You love them more than your love for them is in spite of what they do or what they don't do. The love of God which passeth knowledge. It's beyond knowledge. So it's a response. It's just, after a while, it becomes second nature. And then you can just ask life for them. You can pray for them. And when we do that, we release life. That life brings strength. That life brings light. That life brings comfort that edifies the person. And all of a sudden, the person, without saying anything, comes back to you to apologize. Without you doing anything. By the Spirit. It's very important. This is the will of God for us. Brethren, you know, our focus must be God-centered. God wants us to be God-centered. The Bible says that no man... Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 44. John chapter 5, verse 44. To do this, your focus must be God-centered. If you are so concerned about what they said to me, how they did it, you don't understand. You know, they really hurt me. I know some people I can never forgive. Why are you saying those kind of things? It's not the will of God. See what is John 5, 44. 44. 4:4. Thank you. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? We have to grow to it, oh. But we must know this is a destination. We have to get to this destination where our honor, no matter what they did, you forgive and you let it go so that life can flow in the body. This is agape love. You ask life for them. You pray for them in tongues, you know, and then God in his wisdom will create the time and the opportunity to talk if he wants you to talk. And you know that, yes, God wants to talk. But the first thing is to keep giving life. Anytime you think about them, whether they're there or they're not there, Lord, I ask life for this person. You pray in the Spirit. As you minister life, that life does not return to God void. It's agape love. And it goes into to affect the person's system, change their attitudes, change their perceptions, change their mindset, and love breaks down every barrier. And before you know it, you can have it. So it's what we've been taught in this family over and over. I mean, I've seen Pastor Mommy do this over and over. Even when you've written yourself off, it doesn't make any sense. You know, it's just love. Agape love. Let's give God a super hand. That's why you should be close to them. Because if you are close to them, you will experience this. And it will challenge you to love your wife, to love your children the way you're supposed to. No matter what they do, Omo Buruku, you can't say that. Because you keep loving them. Anytime you remember that thing that he's doing, you ask life for him. You pray for him in tongues. You make a confession. And say you love righteousness, you hate sin. That Omo Buruku will become Omo Gidi. Ma? Yes, become a John Mark. Brethren, if this love is a force and nothing can hold it back, it's very important that you understand. It's whether you choose, yes, agape love is the greatest. Whether you allow it to flow, let it flow. You know, let it flow. It's coming from God to you, but you let it flow out. Amen. Okay, now, how do we get life? Because it's important to say this. You know, we have our own relationship with God. We have our own relationship with oversight. We should. We have our relationship with elders. And we have relationship with other saints and people around us. So we have really at least four levels of connection with people. But covering is coming to you directly. And it complements what you are getting from God. What we get from God cannot be enough. It cannot be enough. God has designed the system like that. So that you know that you need them. And guess what? They need you. So it's an interdependence. Interdependence. That, yes. No, there is no Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger has stopped riding and will not ride again. Okay? There is no Lone Ranger. In this economy, it is team ministry. It is team. So you love them. And they love you. You give life to them, they give life to you. You pray for them, they pray for you. And together, yes, it is absolutely vital nourishment that must complement what we do. That's how we get it. You know, and then of course life flows amongst us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This is very important. Let's first look at Psalm 133. Let's look at that first because I think that's key. Psalm 133, verse 1. Thank you. Let's read it together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is what Paul was seeing. That Paul was saying. The Bible says it's good and pleasant. No, next verse. It is like the precious ointment. What is that ointment? Life. The anointing, that ointment upon the head, as Jesus Christ, that ran down upon the bed, mature spiritual leaders, and then even Aaron's bed that went down to the skirts of his garments. That's where you and I are. Verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord does what? Commanded the blessing, which is life forevermore, eternal life. In unity, that's the flow. So it's coming to us. We are getting from God direct, but it's coming to complement and make it sufficient. So if your attitude goes off, if you're not faithful in that is another man's by submitting, then you affect what you get. Everything is attitude based. That's why Jesus, the Bible says of Jesus, he was heard in that he feared. The fear of God. That attitude is key because it affects the flow. And you can be, yeah, it's like a valve. It is like a valve, sir. You know, so it flows down. And that is the will of God, so that we can have life in sufficient measure. Now look at Ephesians 4:16. This is now how it flows amongst us. So you must get life every day. Check your attitude to authority. You know, esteem them highly in love. Do you do it? Check. You know, know them that labor among you and are over you. You know, very important. You know, Bible says, remember those who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow. Are you following? No, so you check, you correct, you make sure that your heart is properly aligned. Then you can receive, and then you can now distribute. Very important. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, more life, more love. Less life, less love. That's how it works. So how do we increase in love? By the release of life. So we endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We walk in meekness. We walk in lowliness. With long suffering. Don't say, I'm tired, y'all. Done it so many times. I'm not going to agree this time. You will agree. You will agree. You will stoop to conquer. You will stoop. And when you conquer, you know, the good thing about stooping to conquer is that when you conquer, it is God that makes you conquer. So he gives to you what you are expecting. There are many other things that you never saw before. But if you take it by yourself, then that's all you have. And then in any case, you don't have the power to sustain. Very important. It's very important. So as we demonstrate agape love, we silently release the power of life. And we become an open book that people under the sphere of our influence can read. They begin to tap from you. They will tap faith from you. And ultimately, they will catch the revelation of God's purpose for their lives from you. As you keep doing what you're doing. Amen. And we see the example that of Jesus. That Jesus did it in Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at that quickly. Matthew 16. Verse 13 to 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Very important question. Next verse. And they said, some said thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Next verse. He said to them, but who do you say I am? And we know the story. And some people answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed. What's he trying to say? A spirit, the Father's spirit, revealed that to you. How did he reveal it to you? By the flow of life. Association. With Lord Jesus. Okay? So, that you can see that the other one is the example of a centurion who saw Jesus' example and discerned that he was a man under authority. And being a soldier, he himself understood that if he's a man of authority, that means that he has servants that we cannot see. Well, apart from this one. So all he has to just give the instruction. That's what my boss does. He just gives me the instruction. So he doesn't even need to come to my house. He had gone to tell him to come to his house. Then he sent the message back again that, Oga, I've just discerned this. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word. And Jesus Christ said, I have not found so great faith in Israel. A centurion, Roman citizen, unbeliever, by the power of life. By the power of life. So, brethren, what is God? Look at, let's go back to verse 2. What is God trying to tell us here? Verse 2, Colossians 2, 2. That when our hearts are knit together in love, then through that life, understanding begins to flow. Knowledge begins to flow. Knowledge is not the most important thing. Love is, because love maintains and establishes the connection. Then through that connection, light begins to flow. Strength begins to flow. So he now says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. So they begin to understand, you know, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. So they come to a point where they begin to acknowledge the fact of the truth of God's word. Amen. It's very important that we understand this. So we have brethren who don't believe the same things we believe. They don't see things the way we see them. The important thing is love. The important thing is to walk in love. Don't do anything to upset them. Don't insult them. Just maintain that bond of love. And if you walk in love long enough, you will win them over. You will allow that life and that light to flow over to them. Amen. And we see also that you know, like we said earlier, Paul disciplined John Mark and saved him. And Barnabas, who was accommodating him, you know, was the one that lost out. You know, Barnabas and John the Baptist underestimated the value of spiritual relationship. Spiritual relationship is on a higher level than natural relationship. And brethren, we must not put emotion into our relationship with people that we into our relationships. The spiritual relationships have a higher priority. And we, if you are going to choose one, you have to choose that one. Because that's where life is coming from. It's very important that we understand that. And you know, I mean, John the Baptist, like we see, you know, thought, JB is my cousin. I mean, he said the right things, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And God is trying to tell us that we need to do what we're supposed to do. Submit yourself. Obey instruction. You know, and I have it here. Life is thicker than blood. Life is thicker than blood. If you're obeying God causes some divisions initially in your family, just keep walking that road. And keep walking in love. Guess what? They're going to come back. Be at peace with you. When a man's ways... Please, thank you, mommy. You're preaching my message. Amen. Alright, so we can influence our spouses without a word. Without a word. You can influence our children, our domestic help, our extended family, our colleagues, and even our enemies. Proverbs 16:7. Even our enemies. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies. So it's not about them. It's about you and God. One with God is a majority. And if you walk with God properly, your enemies will come round. I've seen it in mommy's life and pastor's life. People that will say they will come and be apologizing. In the same place where they misbehaved. And God does it for a sign. For people like us, so we can know that godliness really pays, forgiveness pays, love pays. Amen. So, brethren, God is talking about love today. And you know, ultimately, as we exercise love, then ultimately these people get born again. That's what he's saying. Oh, you have gone on holiday. Okay. All right. With that verse 2 is talking about acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus Christ. It's very important that we see that, you know, that's a very important principle right there. You know, look at Matthew 11:27. Turn your Bibles. They're going to come back. Let's walk in love. Ask life for them. Pray for them in tongues. They're going to come back. Life! To the, okay, so that their hearts might be comforted. That comfort there is peace coming through life. Being knit together in love, forgetting their differences, and just looking at the common things that bind us together. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. So we begin to get revelation understanding. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. What's the mystery of God? Christ in them, the hope of glory. So they begin to, through your love, people can get revelation. They will be open to hear what you have to say because of the love you have demonstrated. But if you don't demonstrate love, you can talk from morning to night. I've experienced it. Don't preach. They don't want to preach. You are telling proper scriptures. They don't preach. And you know what I found? It's true. Don't preach. Love.
keep quiet. Silently do the correct thing. Once, twice, three times, four times. After a while, you get a change in attitude. It works, brethren. It works. So, and he says there, and of the Father and of Christ. Now, in Matthew 11:27, there's an important principle to see there. Matthew 11:27, you know, as we begin to close. Yes. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whosoever the Son will reveal him. You can see a unity between the Father and the Son. And right there is the Holy Spirit. He's not mentioned though, but the Father is doing it through the Spirit, and the Son too is doing it through the Spirit. But you see, what else? The Father brings you to the Son, and then the Son points you back to the Father. Very important. And true mature oversight will point us back to God. Everything is God-centered. God-centered, not man-centered, not entertainment-based. It is God-centered. We live for God. Our lives are in Him. Bible says, no, for Him, through Him, to Him are all things. So we are living for Him. So what mature oversight tells you, it takes the eyes off you and points you to God. So you now see your part. But many times we overestimate our part in the larger picture. When you see the larger picture and you see God is the center of the larger picture, then you take your place and you humble yourself. Amen. And when we humble ourselves like that, we get more life, and then those people can then actually get their own direct connection with God. So through your influence, they will actually come to a place where they get born again. You know, and then they can now get revelation, and they can then also grow to the fullness of Christ. Amen. All right, let's look at verse 3. As we close. Verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Yes, sir. Stella. When we grow in agape love to a certain degree, Bible talks about when you comprehend and practice the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, and you know by experience the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge, then God gives you access to the fullness of God. The fullness of God then dwells bodily. Now that's the glory. That's what we're going for. Because once you get the fullness of the Spirit without measure in you, that is life in your soul, shining light. Life in your body full of light, having no part dark. Then you have an access card to the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The same way we use our ATM to go and withdraw. When you put, no, if it's not your card, if you put it, they say punch in a number. How many digits is the number? 4. God's access card digit is 4. Love. Love. You put the card in. Give God the glory. You put the card in. And guess what? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amazing insight. New materials. Creativity that has no bounds. Incredible photographic memory. Incredible mathematical ability. Incredible language learning skills. Incredible musical ability. Things that if you talk about it, it becomes money. If you do anything about it, you patent it. You become a generator of wealth. Not wealth transfer, wealth generation. Brethren, if this does not motivate you, that's why, I don't know what will. That's why the Bible says that, what shall it profit a man if he gains external things and loses the soul? Because the soul is the real McCoy. It's the one that gives you the access card to the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, brethren, God is saying, look, whatever you need to do to give time to God, to pray, to practice the love of God, do it. Because there's a payday. the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Amen. Let us pray.
Babaki.
Oh!
Now, that's a word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is, by the mercy and the grace of God, giving us an insight. In those three verses, the Apostle Paul, encapsulates the essence of our Christianity. Just in three verses. The suffering for the churches he had not seen. That's why the Bible says, the other time I said about the fact that, death worketh in us, but life in you. See, true ministers lay down their lives. That's a good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He goes to God, he gets life. Then he now takes that life he has got and he gives it to the sheep. And in doing that, he experiences a significant degree of death. That's the suffering. Cast down but not destroyed. All kinds of problems. Because if he had kept all that life for himself, he would have overcome all those things. But he had to divert some of it. But this is what Jesus did. And this is what Paul meant in Philippians when he said that I may know the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. Now, you're not going to a literal cross. But when you now give life to others, you do experience, not permanently, but a certain measure of death, which is suffering, self-denial. You don't enjoy the things other people are enjoying. You have to, have some inconveniences in your life, because that's the only way that you can give life. When you give life to others, that deficit is made, causes you to experience that. But it's only for a while. Don't your neighbor say it's only for a while. I say it's only for a while. Jesus was only under the earth, only for 3 days, only for a while. Don't you know, the resurrection is coming. The redemption of your body is coming. In fact, the scripture says, in 1 Peter, he says that after you have suffered a while, it's only for a while, then God will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and say to you, how many people want that? Hallelujah. So it's worth it. It's more than worth it. So we must understand this life principle. You see, those who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You are strong, so you go to God, you get it. Then you now give it to the weaker one. It's inconvenient for you for a while, but what you're doing is like Pastor Kunle said, payday is coming. When you give to them, they will get stronger. When they get stronger, later on, they are going to give back to you. Hallelujah. And God is going to reward you. So always see it when you have to help people and you have to, like he said, stoop to conquer, even if you are right and they are wrong, and you still say, okay, I agree, whatever you want, I do it. Because what you are ultimately doing is that you are going to be strengthening them. And later they will change. They will come and see what you are seeing. And they will come and acknowledge it and be strengthened. The other very important thing I just want to emphasize, like Pastor Kunle has mentioned it during the ministry, is praying for the nations. The destiny of nations is hanging in the hands of the people of God. When he was talking about Daniel, something just struck me. I said it many years ago, but it struck me. Daniel was only one man, oh. Of course, we had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego too, But that Daniel chapter 9 didn't even include Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was just Daniel. It was just Daniel. And look at the ripple effect. By the time the prayer was answered, Daniel was dead. Daniel did not go back to Israel. He didn't go back with Nehemiah and the others, and Ezra. But it was Daniel's prayer that the Holy Spirit used to stir up the spirit of Cyrus. and caused a restoration. And Pastor K, that was beautiful. The tapestry of, you know, God's work across generations. Jeremiah, Daniel, Cyrus, Nehemiah, Ezra. Look at the connection. And ultimately what God said came to pass. But it didn't come to pass in the life of one man and in the life of one generation. We've got to look at the big picture, folks. We've got to look, you know, we've got to look at the big picture. See, you know, when you look at the big picture and you see what God is doing, you humble yourself. And then you put yourself where God has put you. You do your bit. Hallelujah. God will pick up the rest. Hallelujah. And so this is very, and that's why our prayer tomorrow is very important for the U.S. elections. And I wanted to use this forum because Kunle spoke, and I wanted to use this forum, you know, to say this. I've said it many times, but this is being recorded and it's live. And so it's very important for me to say what I'm about to say. We are non-partisan. We are non-partisan. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. There's no personal agenda here. You understand? Is to find out what the will of God is. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. It doesn't mean I agree with everything Hillary Clinton does. No. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is to find out what the will of God is at this particular point in time that will ultimately cause God's final will of God to be done, which is the discipleship of the nations. The nations must be discipled. And many of these people, you know, they don't know God yet like we know God. They don't. Look at Cyrus. Cyrus was not a Christian. He was an idol worshiper. He didn't understand a lot of things. But you know, by the time Daniel's prayer went through another thing, this same Cyrus, he said, when they are going to go, he said, give them money from the king's treasury. He said, let them build. And let the priest, he said, nobody should disturb them. He said that they may pray for the life of the kings and his children. They had enough something. I want to say this. I got to sign and then we'll pray and close. Do you know something happened last week? We prayed. We had been praying. And I've been praying both corporately and privately about this American elections. Last Sunday, I preached here about let patience, you know, waiting on God's promise. And, you know, why, you know, when you are waiting, you're not waiting passively, you're waiting actively. And as you wait and you pray, say, let patience have a perfect, they may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. The next day, I was reading about Hillary Clinton. She was in Florida. She went to a black church. As all politicians do that, you know. And then they asked her to share the word. She opened the scripture and went to Romans chapter 5. It says, tribulation worketh patience. That was her text. The very same thing I said. Different scriptures, but the same spirit. She used the New International Version. It says, you know, suffering, give it to me. Yes, put it in New International. Now we all, this was her text. We rejoice in our suffering. Because, you know, that was the time that FBI thing, everything was coming. He said, you know, because suffering produces perseverance. Next verse. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. She said, all these things are only going to produce a better character in me. I said, wow. How did she pick that? We were preaching here in Nigeria because we're they are 6 hours behind us. Do you understand? By the time we had finished service here and we had gone home, they were just going to church. So, of course, there are so many other areas where she doesn't, I don't agree with her. She's mixed up in their minds and so many things and all that. But when you look at the scriptures, you find that's exactly what happened in the Bible times. Pharaoh was not a, he was just an unbeliever. But God, used Joseph to help him. Cyrus, the same thing. So when we're dealing with the destiny of nations, we have to understand what the mind of God is. Very important for me to clarify that, you know, so that we're not partisan. We're just trying to find out what the will of God is. The person that has a heart for the things of God. Incidentally, I heard that the other person too went to church. And all he did was just sway and sing. But somebody got the word. It tells you the heart. So that's to be understood. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Revelation flows from God. Light. Life. When you give life, then light comes. People begin to get revelation, begin to get understanding. And God wants us to have this in our hearts. Unto the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Talk to God. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing, hallelujah,
flowing from the grace that I found in you.
Weaknesses are seen, and me
will be stripped away.
Be stripped away.
By the power of your love. Lord, I come to you. Start again. Start again.
Lord, I come.
Your forehead is symbolic of where your soul is. And raise the other hand to God. Love is the greatest. And it is intricately interwoven with life, the blood for forgiveness, and praying in the Spirit. You really cannot develop the love of God and grow in it without all these ingredients. It is the life that will give you the wisdom and the compassion. You begin to see things the way God sees it. You want to make that love your greatest quest. You want to make it the thing that you follow after on a daily basis. Use the blood, use the word, pray for forgiveness, then ask life for them, pray for them in the Spirit. These are the tools you now use to let that life and patience and kindness and goodness, all that power of the fruit of the Spirit come. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. And I repent for where I've taken my focus off the love of God, making it my priority, the primary thing, my main target in life. Lord, in Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on me as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning. Lord, teaching me and reminding me that it is your will. It is your will that I suffer self-denial, to walk in love, to give life to others, to strengthen others in the body, so that the entire body can be strengthened and edified in love. Oh God, help me. Help me to play my part. When I see people sin, help me to remember to ask life for them. Help me to pray for them and to pray for myself, and therefore strengthen and edify the body. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be a beacon of light wherever I am, to influence the people around me, in my immediate family, in my workplace, in my relationships, that I will always be a dispenser of love, of life, of the blood, of light, so that everybody around me will start getting strengthened and edified, and I myself will be strengthened and edified. Lord God, causing your will and your purpose for your church, the acknowledgement of the mystery of Christ, to be my portion, Lord God, and ultimately to affect and disciple the nations of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekatolo mashala prokutofres, likutolo mashaki tofredesk, lomprikatasko frininza kahaya, zoko lomprikitushko. Jiki tu fris, tulomangaras, tuski fris, lombridis, zifridis, longaras, tulomos tu fris, tulomangis, tulfrisu, tulomos tu fris. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give a Lord a super clap offering.
Hallelujah. Your spirit leads me on.
Power of your love.